Talk Live, and as always, you are welcome to join us here. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
Hey, Mark, you're back.
Back after a long hiatus, my winter break.
I want to bring attention to the fact that you now have a speech impediment.
I'm a little lispier. I had some dental work done. I'm sure I'll sort it out over time.
Yeah, just in case people wondered why you sound a little bit different. You are being worked upon in your mouth. Hopefully you'll feel better soon. But it's good to have you here.
It doesn't hurt.
Okay.
At this moment.
Okay, good. Good to have you here. What does hurt is when peaceful people get taken away from their relatively free lives and thrown into internment camps. In this case, the news, surprise, surprise, is that Joe Biden, turns out, he's probably going to be worse than Donald Trump. Maybe as bad as Barack Obama on cracking down on immigration.
Was Barack Obama as, quote-unquote, bad as Trump on this?
He was worse than Trump.
I don't know. I mean, like, they redefined what deportation was under the Obama administration.
Okay.
So, Trump wasn't letting people in, as opposed to, deporting them once they got here and that kind of thing.
Well, I don't know if they redefined it. I mean, that's typical for government to redefine things.
Yeah.
They have their words, and they do things with them. But in this case, the reality of it is the ACLU is not happy after Joe Biden apparently issued new ICE guidance, which, according to Colin Kalmbacher on Twitter, wholly abandons his pledge to halt deportations.
Did somebody believe this guy? Oh, my God. A career politician has lied to you?
Yes, he did.
It's almost the definition of the word politician. As a matter of fact, I'd say that if you said that the definition of politician was liar and thief to most Americans, they wouldn't argue with that.
Yep. Well, that's true. And for whatever reason, these politicians managed to fool at least a large number of Americans, maybe not the majority of them, but a large number of Americans into thinking that somehow, some way, this time, this guy will be different
than
the previous ones. And
of course, he's running against the evil orange Hitler.
The ACLU had this to say in a press release. The memo is a disappointing step backward from the Biden administration's earlier commitments to fully break from the harmful deportation policies of the Trump and Obama presidencies. While the Biden administration rightly acknowledges that immigrants are our family members, coworkers, and our neighbors, for now, it has chosen to continue giving ICE officers significant discretion to conduct operations that harm our communities and tear families apart. The interim enforcement priorities detailed today import the injustices of the criminal legal system and will lead to continued disproportionate deportations of black and brown immigrants. The priorities use sweeping and overbroad presumptions of threat and have for decades resulted in biased profiling and harmful immigration consequences for black and brown people, including Muslims. The priorities presume that all recent border crossers are threats in total contravention of President Biden's commitment to ensuring that people seeking asylum are treated with dignity. They say further that we expect better from the Biden administration. We'll get used to it because this is just the beginning of how bad this guy is likely going to get. He hasn't even had a chance to get into war in any meaningful sense yet.
No, he's going to be more of the same of Democratic politicians. I mean, he is more of the same of Democratic politicians. And, you know, Republican politicians, not much better through my lifetime. This is the same thing over and over again. We had the choice between two crooked, rich, old perverts. And, America decided that this was the one they wanted to believe in. And what a bunch of crap.
According to Fox News, the civil rights group is reacting to the memo issued this week, which tells ICE officers to focus on three categories of immigrants: those who pose a threat to national security, those who have crossed the border since November 1st, and those who committed aggravated felonies. Well, guess what? They think that every immigrant who doesn't ask permission to come here is a threat to national security.
Probably true.
Yeah.
An aggravated felony is well defined, though.
The directive is temporary.
And it would not, like, I can't say that it would break my heart if the immigrants that they decided they were going to deport first were the ones who were committing felonies with weapons.
Well, but you have no evidence that that's what they're going to do.
Well, that was number three.
That's just a directive. The reality of it is, Mark, these are cops, and cops are cowards. So if they're going to go after an immigrant, are they more likely to go after the armed-to-the-teeth criminal gang that might have crossed the border, or are they going to go after the people that just want to go and get a job somewhere?
Well, they certainly have raided chicken processing plants and a
variety
of things.
They sure have, and they're going to keep doing that.
And, you know, I never see news stories where, you know, MS-13 mm-hmm. does anything but get free guns from the government.
Right. Yeah, when's the last time the big bad gang members actually had a shootout with federal agents? I don't remember hearing that story. The officials say the guidance doesn't explicitly prevent anyone from being arrested or deported. Instead, it directs resources at certain targets. However, field officers seeking to arrest someone outside of those three categories would need approval from their chain of command. Quote, by focusing our limited resources on cases that present threats to national security, border security, and public safety, that's basically everyone who is crossing the border without permission. Okay. If somebody crosses the border,
they're a threat to border security,
they're
right?
They're a threat to border security, and they're going to treat them like that. And they're going to, guess what, start separating children from families and continue separating children from families. In fact, that was the other story that I'd had from, I don't know, looks like almost 2 weeks ago at Reason.com. Headline, Biden is still separating families at the border. Where's the media outrage?
Right. And, I mean, you know, this was the – I heard – several of my friends say, yeah, you know, I get we don't have a big choice here. They're both crappy candidates. But Trump is separating kids from their families at the border.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were going to support Biden for that reason. Well, there you go.
Because they thought Biden would somehow be different than the Biden who was separating kids from their families at the border under the Obama administration.
Yes. I mean, obviously, politics isn't America's solution. You know, like at some point or another, we're going to have to figure it out that you can't just go every 4 years shoving the least distasteful of your team down the other team's throat. This just, it's really a crappy way to run a country, and we're getting more divided by the day.
If you want to weigh in here, your thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160. And then, of course, you had Biden just the other day saying what he said. I don't think we actually did play this on the air. Did you hear the clip of him talking about blacks and Hispanics? Mark?
No. I was I've heard quite a bit of his stuff on China, though. Rambling.
Yeah, we did talk about his opinions where he's basically backing the Chinese internment camps, where he will refuses to criticize the Chinese president.
It's cultural.
Dictator. That's what he said. He just basically apologized for the Chinese internment camps that you're interning millions of Chinese Uyghur Muslims.
And there's an argument that what he was doing was arguing for the cultural differences in the United States and saying that he had to, as a president, support freedom of people all over the planet and civil rights and that sort of thing. But what I would say is that, you know, if you're making that argument in your car right now, realize you voted for an inarticulate, demented man.
Here is the audio.
The other portion is a lot of people don't know how to register. Not everybody in the community, in the Hispanic and the African-American community, particularly in rural areas that are distant and or inner city districts, know how to get online to determine how to get in line for that COVID vaccination at the Walgreens or at the particular store.
Look, Biden, we all know that you're the one who wouldn't know. If he didn't have his handlers showing him where the stairs were for the stage, this guy wouldn't have any idea how to get from point A to point B. I mean, he is completely out of it. And there he is saying that basically blacks and Hispanics in the inner cities and the rural areas can't figure out how to get online.
I suspect they're online already. I mean,
Trump never said anything racist, and he always got crap for being racist. This guy, he's just straight up racist. There's more coming up here at 603-283-6160. You can take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. As always, you're invited here. If you want to join us, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you here tonight, you've got Ian.
And Mark.
All right, so lots of stuff to talk about. We're going to get into your calls and thoughts. We started out with Joe Biden. Surprise, surprise. He's a lot like the old Joe Biden. You remember the guy that was vice president for 8 years?
It's not like we didn't know what we were. And before that, a senator for a very long time. Yeah. We knew what we were getting from this guy.
Like 50 years or something in D.C. or whatever, in quote unquote public service or wherever it was, Delaware, et cetera, wherever. Whatever hole this guy crawled out of. He is now, surprise, surprise, going to be cranking up the immigration enforcement. And if you want to comment, you're certainly welcome to. Also, I do want to invite you over to Bitcoin.com because you might have heard Bitcoin is hitting record highs almost daily. Now, today it hit a record high of over $57,000 per Bitcoin. It's now down, all the way down to 55.7. At the moment. So,
oh boy.
If you want to learn about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, get on over to Bitcoin.com. They've got a Get Started section you can click on. And it, you know, if you only have 3 minutes, you can just watch the first video. If you got a little bit more time, there might be some other interesting topics there that you want to explore. And again, learning the basics is what you can do. And it's still early, by the way. You think it's too late?
We've been talking about this for, well, since 2010 here on Free Talk Live. And everybody feels like, you know, hey, I wish I'd listened to those guys. Well, everything.
You could still listen.
Yeah. Everything I see says that Bitcoin is going to go very high. BTC. Now, don't ask me why. I think it's a, you know, compared to the other cryptos out there, I don't think it's, I think it's old tech. Mm-hmm. But not everybody agrees with me, clearly.
Yep.
And the horses that I bet on for, you know, some time ago, they aren't running the way that I would have liked to have seen them run.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, I mean, we don't know what the future holds. The price may go down, but the price so far has continued to go up over time, slowly over time, and now not so slow. It's going up, in some cases, thousands of dollars a day. So go to Bitcoin.com, learn more about that there. And if you're not new to crypto, you can go to their news site over at news.bitcoin.com as we go to your calls and thoughts. Jerome is on the line in South Carolina. Hello, Jerome.
Trump is not a racist. What is he then? But he's a good human being who loves everyone.
I didn't say he was a good human being. He's a politician.
Is the arbiter of whether a person is good or not, whether they're racist or not? I mean, is that that sum total? You can not be racist and still be a good person?
No, but it said that if someone reveals to you who they are, believe them. So what do you think he's revealed to people?
What do I think?
He's not a racist?
Biden has revealed to people or Trump? Because Biden just came out and said black people are stupid.
Well, hey, that's his opinion.
Right.
He's pretty stupid, too.
That's what I'm saying.
He's a politician. Yeah.
Now, Trump never came out and said something quite so obviously, breathtakingly boorish.
No. Oh, you mean like when he said, when you're a celebrity, they let you get away with it, grabbing women?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely a bad person. There's no doubt about it.
That's not boorish.
It's as boorish as Biden grabbing that woman that the Senate won't let us have hearings on or find out the information on.
I know you don't like Biden, so
I don't like Trump either. Why am I defending him?
So I know you would throw dirt on Biden as soon as you could. I don't believe he said it exactly the way you put it, but since that's the way you
interpret it. Didn't we just play it?
Yeah, do you want us to play the audio for you, Jerome? Because we did just play it.
No, I don't want to play it because I don't vote for him, you know. So, hey, we take the good with the bad with him.
Oh, I get
just
it. Like
you
Jerome,
people
I understand.
Trump, you took that.
Hold on. Look, I'm not saying that everybody who voted for Biden is a bad person. What I would say, in fact, is that this nation is so divided that we would vote for a crooked old pervert in order to get rid of the other crooked old pervert. Like, that's how messed up this is. I'll take this racist because I got to get rid of that racist. You know, whatever the situation is, I understand why people choose to vote in weird ways when it comes to a presidential election. But, I mean, you know, when you take a bunch of animals and do scientific experiments on them, they do weird things. Well, this is a big sociological experiment.
By the way, you didn't talk about how Rush Limbaugh died this week. Huh?
Actually, yes, we did. Oh, yeah, we talked about it this week.
He didn't like Trump until he ran for president. Then all of a sudden he loved, Rush Limbaugh wasn't a racist either, was he? And him giving him the Medal of Freedom, is there a bigger joke than that? None of the black leaders stood up to honor him when he gave him that. They just sat there. And you know why. You know why.
Why?
Because he's a racist. He's a disgrace. Look, what do you call President Obama? Oh, Rush Limbaugh's not a racist? And that's one of Trump's best buddies?
I think Rush Limbaugh
the Medal of Freedom?
Simply... Hold on. If my understanding is correct, now Rush Limbaugh is a savvy character. I don't know whether he's a
savvy. Savvy for what?
He's savvy
he
in broadcasting.
$500 million. He used the color of his skin to make $500 million.
You
and
think
enrich
that,
himself on race?
Well, there's plenty of people who are black that have been on the radio and they've managed to make money
and made that kind of money off of race.
Look, I don't. Rush Limbaugh's sidekick is a black guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So that means he can't be racist, right?
No, but I mean, it does mean that he's, you know, clearly willing to hire black people to do his show. But Walter Williams did his show. Didn't Thomas Sowell do his show?
Does the word sellout mean anything to you?
There's a lot of legitimate critiques of Rush Limbaugh. And, maybe he said some things. I don't know. I've never heard about that. There's plenty of critiques of Rush Limbaugh. And I had my critiques of Rush Limbaugh. And I said some of them on the air this week. I'll recap briefly for you since you weren't tuned in. Rush Limbaugh, I definitely appreciate the fact that he, a lot of people believe he saved the entire AM band, and some argue he created talk radio as we know.
By the way,
can I give you the opinion here? Okay,
sure,
okay. So yeah. So he deserves a lot of credit for the business aspect of what he did.
Yep.
On the other hand, by no means was he a good person towards, let's say, drug so-called criminals.
Minorities.
He was a total hypocrite. He was
minorities.
But what did he do in that area? I'm not familiar with that.
The things he said about minorities, the things he called President Obama.
He called the president's name no matter who they were.
He played a song,
any
which
Democrat
was
president.
Barack the Magic Negro, which was a quote.
Yeah, which
of
is a disgrace.
Yeah, but
how
it was a
that?
Quote.
You're
wait a second.
About
it was a quote from a Democratic columnist. I mean, and what he was doing is lampooning that the Democrats could be this racist.
And get away with it.
And then everybody calls Limbaugh racist.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
look, he's...
That's the way he felt. That's the way he felt. No.
Well, why would he call Barack magic?
Yeah, that's the way he felt. He hated minorities.
That were true, Jerome, why would James Golden, who is a black man, Rush called him Bo Snerdly on the air. That was his stage name or for whatever reason. Why would James Golden work for Rush Limbaugh for years and years? According to Wikipedia, Golden was even on the production team back when Rush did a TV show. You remember when Rush was fat in the early 1990s?
I think the most racist thing that you can claim Rush Limbaugh did was on Monday Night Football, when he was one of the commentators, he questioned whether, I think it was Warren Moon, was a football great. Now, he's a football guy. He should know whether he's great or not. And I don't know the answer.
Now, Limbaugh was a hypocrite. You know, he took drugs, but yeah, also wanted people to go to prison for it. But not him, of course. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
Bitcoin.com is the best source for learning about cryptocurrency. Go there now, click on Get Started at the top of the page. Once you do that, you'll find a cornucopia of information, neatly organized for your needs. If you're a knowledgeable crypto user, check out news.bitcoin.com, where you can get the latest headlines. Bitcoin.com is your source for buying cryptocurrency, getting a wallet app, mining, trading, and all the latest cryptocurrency news, all on a slick and easy-to-use website. All put together by the best minds in the business to teach you about cryptocurrency. Bitcoin.com.
Yep, it is Free Talk Live, and our number for you, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160. 6160. AnyPay 2.0 is here, and crypto payments are now faster than ever. If you're using Edge Wallet, Handcash, Bitcoin.com's wallet, or Dash Wallet, your experience should be pretty smooth. But some wallets out there, as good as those other wallets are, they just aren't ready for AnyPay 2.0. I mean, a lot of people use Coinomi and Exodus Wallet, RelayX, Bread Wallet. These are popular wallets. Unfortunately, if you're trying to use it with AnyPay, they're not going to work. And that's because AnyPay's come up with some payment technology, or rather adopted some payment technology that's been around for years. It's just that some of these wallet technology, you know, wallet companies, they haven't caught up with the Joneses. And they need to, because they're good wallets.
I think it's because a lot of people who store their Bitcoin themselves aren't spending it. You know, they're not going and buying things.
In real life.
In real life.
Online, because AnyPay's also online now.
Because I had to use a Coinomi wallet that I haven't used in some time recently, and it just crapped the bed. I mean, the fee that it put on was not nearly enough. It got stuck, and it's been stuck for days.
So you can help make these wallets better by just encouraging them to do the right thing and you know, make their wallets better for payments by adopting the AnyPay protocol. So you can go to anypayinc.com/upgrade and learn more about it there. That's anypayinc.com/upgrade.
Can you tell people where to look if they want to move their Bitcoin from one wallet to another but don't want to make a transaction?
Where to look?
Yeah, how would you find those instructions online?
So, I mean, the short version is you'd want to get your backup words from
mnemonics,
whatever wallet it is,
right?
And put those words into
probably
the
worst
wallet.
Word to use on the radio, mnemonics.
Yeah, you'd want to put those words into another wallet, but not every wallet is going to accept the backup words, Mark. So it's not a perfect process. So you'd have to figure out which wallets take the other wallet's backup words, and it gets a little complicated. So just keep that in mind, and we don't do tech support on the air.
I know. I was just asking if there was a place people could go to find it. Mnemonics.
Here's the internet. Yes, yeah. You could probably look there.
Yeah.
603-283-6160. So again, anypayinc.com/upgrade. We've been talking about, I almost called him Barack O'Biden.
All right.
Biden. Who is surprised, just like he was when he was the vice president under Barack Obama. And if you remember, under Barack Obama, there was controversy on the left because guess what? Barack Obama was an enforcer of the immigration policies. And surprise, surprise, Joe Biden is also enforcing those same immigration policies.
Yeah, he had to look tough on something, so he became the deporter in chief.
As according to Reason.com, President Joe Biden took the oath of office on January 20th. The question of what immediate action he would pursue on immigration arguably drew the most bated breath. And as modern presidents tend to do, he settled into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue with a spate of executive orders, many of which served only to overturn former President Donald Trump's executive orders. One such move, Biden instructed Acting Attorney General Monty Wilkinson to rescind Trump's zero-tolerance policy that saw thousands of migrant parents separated from their children at the U.S.-Mexican border. The new order is symbolic. And that's what a lot of politics is all about. It's about making symbolism for people to think that you've done a thing and that you've done something differently. However, then there's the reality. Following a very public backlash and court injunction in the summer of 2018, Trump reneged on the risible approach, which required that prosecutors charge every single adult immigrant who crossed the border illegally a misdemeanor in federal court. It goes without saying that those indicted on criminal charges cannot take their children with them to jail, thus splintering families for the crime of trying to claim asylum. Hundreds are yet to be reunited, and others, some of them, will likely never be.
I know this is a disaster, but I mean, if you knew that there was that the policy in America was to separate families and this sort of thing, why would you cross the border with your kids?
You're like, just that desperate.
Really? I can't imagine being that desperate.
Well, you've had a fortunate life. With the exception of the prison term.
Yeah, like the lowest socioeconomic class in the country.
Yeah. But you've never been a poor person in Mexico.
It's true.
Okay.
And that this was, in all likelihood, a poor non-Mexican in Mexico. They're coming from like Honduras, Guatemala, Nicaragua, places like that. But, you know, I mean, as a species.
You've never been a poor Honduran who's traveled across an entire continent.
as a species, our one evolutionary imperative is to protect our kids. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like...
Well, do you think, Mark, that a lot of people in other countries know the intricacies of the federal judicial system and immigration system?
You'd think they'd find it out at the border.
Might be a little harder than you think. I mean, you might find out at the border as they're separating you from your children in that particular case, but it's a little bit too late.
Right.
Agreed. At that point.
So if they, you know, and I asked, don't you think you would know this? I mean, it seems like, you know, the grapevine, she's pretty, I mean, people have cell phones.
They do. They have the internet, but still, Mark, I can tell you within the last decade, we've had people calling into this show or emailing us from Africa, for instance, and there's still a belief system out there that America is this free beacon, that it's this free place on the hill.
It's still a very wealthy place.
Not as much as it was a year ago, but, you know, it is. And regardless, people know that things are bad where they are, and they hear stories about the United States being better.
Sure.
And it is better in a lot of ways.
I was amusing when I was in Africa. I was sort of thinking about how
you
the
went
average
to Ghana.
Yeah, I was in Ghana and another country. Mm-hmm. Everybody's asking for money in a lot of cases. And the funny thing is the average American is in debt up to their eyeballs.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you're in an African country and you have zero, you've got much more than most of the people who are listening to me right now, you know?
I see what you're saying.
Right, but we have the wealth in so much as you can live in the house and you can do all of these things.
Right,
but
Americans are living in their debt. They're driving it around.
Yes.
They have, you know, they can use the debt as a tool.
I was just musing.
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying that,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that Americans can be so in debt and so wealthy all at once.
Yeah. It's crazy what's going on out there. If you want to comment, you can join us 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160. Buried in the news cycle around Biden's gesture, however, is that the updated guidance that he has issued. Now, Ben, this was before the guidance we were talking about earlier. So this was like right as soon as he took office, the guidance they're talking about now. It does not, in fact, stop family separations. It just tells the state to use discretion. Prosecutors should not rule out formally charging misdemeanor border crossers, but instead, quote, take into account other individualized factors, including personal circumstances and criminal history, the seriousness of the offense, and the probable sentence or other consequences that would result from a conviction, unquote. It's certainly an upgrade from a zero-tolerance approach, which, true to name, was without any nuance or mercy, but it still gives the federal government wide latitude in deciding which mothers and fathers get to stay with their children, and expressly does not eliminate the possibility that they could be separated, perhaps forever, simply for crossing a literal line in the sand.
And this is the thing, is when you're talking about, let's say, an infant separated from its mother. Now, the infant can't identify who mom is, and mom... she's separated for days, weeks, months.
Oh, yeah.
It gets very complicated on how to give that baby back to that woman. These people are given fake names at the border. They, you know, pretend not to understand enough English to, you know, be able to do this or that. And,
right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of these kids who are never going to see their parents again.
Which Jane Doe does she belong to?
Right.
603-283-6160. It's still difficult to ask for asylum at ports of entry, says the director of immigration studies at Cato's Institute Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity, Alex Norasta. He said further, quote, you have to basically try to sneak into the country illegally and then ask a Border Patrol agent. But by doing that, you commit a federal crime. And remember, this story was written before his most recent guidance, which basically gives, you know, carte blanche to these bureaucrats to continue enforcing as they did during the Barack Obama administration. And some would argue Barack Obama enforced harder than Donald Trump. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live, the live Saturday episode here with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
And Mark.
The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We will take your calls about anything. It doesn't have to be on Biden's big surprise. He's going to crack down on immigration. Now, of course, the media is going to whitewash this as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, what happened? I mean, did journalism really just turn under the Trump administration to the point that we just can't report fairly anymore? I mean, like any semblance of fairness? Because basically,
yeah, that seemed to go out the window during Trump.
It was clear that every media, more or less, hated Trump. And now, you know, and like every team player, they got to get on board the Biden train now. You know, I'm ashamed for my field.
Well, I mean, you're a talk show host, Mark. You're not a journalist.
Marginal journalist. I broke a few stories here and there.
Yeah. I mean, journalism, again, traditionally, journalism has been the sort of, at least to give the impression of fairness. As a journalist, you're supposed to cover both sides, right? If there's two sides, you're supposed to cover both sides and give them their say and get that out there in a fair, impartial manner. That's gone, okay? As a talk show host, you're not expected to do those things. So you can't really say you're a journalist.
Well, I'm expected to tell the truth.
Okay, but you can't really say that you're a journalist. Talk show host is an opinion-based career. If you don't have an opinion, you're a terrible talk show host. Whereas if you're a journalist who's inputting their opinion, you're not technically doing journalism. You're doing
You could do a talk show without having an opinion. I mean, you can just say,
I said you wouldn't be a good talk show host if you didn't have an opinion.
That perhaps is true.
Let's go to your calls and thoughts here. Ed is on the line in Tennessee. Ed, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Yes. I live in Chattanooga, but I work in Dalton, Georgia. Mm-hmm. I'm a mechanic, and I had it out with one of my coworkers last month, actually, over the senatorial elections in Georgia.
Okay.
And I don't know if the Republicans have reached a new level of stupidity, but I had three guys that I work with boycotted the senatorial elections in Georgia, and then they started complaining
about the result,
that the elections were stolen. They listened to Donald Trump because the president, Donald Trump, said that the elections are rigged, so they boycotted the election, and they came back to work complaining that the elections were stolen, stopped the steal. I mean, have these Republicans reached a new level of stupidity?
I don't know who's doing what as far as boycotting elections, but I've always said that if you're boycotting elections, you're helping the other side.
But it doesn't matter because whoever wins, we lose. Whether Trump won or Biden won, the government is going to get bigger. The government is going to get more intrusive, more expensive, more outrageous.
In different ways, yeah.
And not really in that different of ways. It's just going to keep getting worse. So I don't mind. You know, it doesn't bother me if somebody says they're boycotting the election because it doesn't matter one way or another.
I understand. I understand they boycotted the election. But then the next day they come back and they start complaining that Purdue and Loeffler lost because it was rigged. And they're crying out, stop the steal.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's aggravating. You know, yeah. I mean, this is just stupidity at the highest level. And as far as immigration, you guys were talking about immigration earlier. I am a political refugee that came to this country from Mozambique during a civil war. And you know what? I respected the laws of the United States. I applied to come to this country, and I waited in line, and I think everybody should do the same.
Why?
Every country has their own immigration policy. Every country in
this
world.
Wasn't America supposed to be the land of the free?
Say that again, sir?
Well, your observation is correct that all of these so-called nation states
exist
all around the world have a bunch of bureaucrats telling everybody what to do when it comes to immigration. But wasn't the United States supposed to be different? Wasn't this supposed to be a free country?
Give us your poor, your weak, your huddled masses yearning to be free.
That is true, but you have to do it in a controlled manner. You
Why?
Just cannot accept everybody from everywhere.
Why not?
Around the world. You
Why
have
not?
To do, you have to know who's coming in.
Why? Why do you have
you
to be
have,
so controlling?
Let me ask you this. So you came here from Mozambique and
correct.
There was unrest. Did you get federal aid from the government?
Not at all.
Right. So you did it all on your own?
Correct.
That's what I'm looking for.
I came here young. My parents, I came here young. I was like, 10, 11 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my parents had a lot to do with that. But we worked hard. We worked our way up, and now we're doing a lot better. We're in the middle class. But all I'm saying is I respected the laws of this country. I came here legally, okay, even though we were in Malawi. We were in a country in Southeast Africa called Malawi in a refugee camp for 5 years, enduring some of the most horrific situation that you've ever seen in your life, man. No food, everything, you know. So these people that are coming in from Central America, they are not refugees. They're not coming from a war zone like I did.
How do you know
this
that?
This pisses me off.
Well,
it pisses me off because of what I went through to come to the United States, and these people are coming from Central America. They're not at war down there. They need to fix their government.
How do you know what it's like in Honduras? Have you been there?
El Salvador.
How do I know? Are they at war? Are they?
There's an internal conflict going on, and people are dying.
Right. When I was getting out of Mozambique, I witnessed a woman get shot in her breast while she was unloading her kids from a pickup truck, pal. So don't tell me I've never been through a war zone.
I didn't tell you that. I said you don't know what's going on in Honduras, sir.
It's not as worse as what I'm
doing. Okay, well, congratulations. You came from the worst place on the planet. I'm glad you made it out of there, but there are a lot of other people who have bad situations. Maybe they're not at war, but maybe the government in Honduras is looking to kill them. Okay, do you think that's a better case?
Let's invite, okay, that's like 80% of the world. Why don't we invite everybody?
Yes, I would like to invite everybody. I would like that. Yeah.
You want to invite everybody from all
absolutely.
Around the world to come
freedom,
to the
baby. Well, that's what it's about.
It's important
so you want
to
raise your taxes.
No.
You're willing to raise your taxes.
No, sir. Taxes, I don't think people should pay them.
So how are they going to support themselves, sir?
Well, that's that would be their problem.
If you don't pay taxes, you can support yourself better because you're not paying a criminal enterprise to destroy people's lives with your money. That's what taxes do. They
First
enrich
all,
these bums
you
in the federal
don't know
government.
Who's You don't know who's coming through the border. You got MS-13 and all
me.
These gangs down there.
So what?
All right?
We've got guns.
Yeah, well, gangs were empowered by the drug war, which is the United States' law that that affects many of these other countries. We wouldn't have the gang trade that's going on if it hadn't been for the U.S.'s war on drugs in the first place.
They wouldn't make any money because they wouldn't be able to sell drugs.
I don't have a problem with immigration, but we have to do it in the right way.
Do you think we are doing it in the right way?
We are doing it. We have to have some kind of control over it.
I didn't
it,
ask that question. Are we doing it? We, this euphemism for the government, because it's not you and it's not me.
No,
are those people over there
is broken.
Who have
the immigration policy
indeed
in
it
this
is.
Country is broken.
Absolutely it is. And I would like to see some things be repaired about it. First thing I'd like to see is nobody, and I mean nobody, gets one penny of U.S. taxpaying money when they come here. They have to make it like everybody who, you know, all our ancestors who came to this country and made it. You know, there's a system in place. Use it. It rewards hard work. And
yes, indeed.
And that's all. That would be my main criteria. Can you get a job? Excellent. I mean, we're shipping all these jobs over to Bangladesh and China. Why don't we have them here?
I understand. I agree with you 100% on that. And that's the reason I voted for Donald Trump in 2016, thinking that he was not a politician, that he was going to, make things better for this country. But I soon realized that I made a big mistake.
Well, what you need to realize is that it doesn't matter who you vote for. None of these people are going to make anything better for you and I. They don't care about the little people. They're in it for their buddies. They're in it for the cronies. They're in it for their own enrichment and the enrichment of their friends and the punishment of their enemies. That's what it's always been about. That's what the government is about. And until we actually...
That's what it was about in Mozambique.
Yeah, until we secede from the United States, until Georgia says, see you later, until New Hampshire says, see you later, Texas, California, all the states say goodbye, the madness in D.C. is going to continue, and it doesn't matter who you put in charge.
You know what? I got to give a shout out to AOC. She raised $2 million and gave it to the state of Texas. And I also got to give
what
a shout out to Beto O'Rourke for helping the people of Texas. He went
out. You're confused. If you give something to the state, it doesn't go to the people.
Some of it does.
Thank you for the call, Ed. I do appreciate hearing from you tonight, because what happens is the state is a criminal enterprise, and so they give it to their buddies. They're not going to go out and actually help people. If they wanted to actually help people in a time of crisis,
say the connected contractors,
Hurricane Katrina or a giant freeze that's affecting the entire state of Texas, they would let individuals come in companies come in, charities come in, and actually help people rather than shutting down access to, you know, doctors and trucks full of water or whatever it is, right?
Which they do.
These things happen. When the government is in charge, they tell people what to do, and people die as a result of that. Hour two's coming up.
Do you feel like your nation, state, or community no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where people agree that liberty is important and are free to pursue their projects so long as they respect the property of others? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. Their social media links are at the upper right of the page at FreePrivateCities.com. All skill levels will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities opens. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build. FreePrivateCities.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, and the phones are open here on this live Saturday episode of the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Mark.
We are talking about the not-surprising hypocrisy from one Joe Biden, who is now issuing yet another notice out to the Department of Homeland Security. Specifically ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and essentially telling them that they're going to just be, you know, doing things as normal. They're going to be deporting people. They're going to be separating children from families. Now, he's not coming right out and saying that, but it's basically in there. If you know what you're looking at, when you see the news story here saying that now the bureaucracy, according to Fox News and the ACLU that have been looking at this, where they're told that, oh, they're prioritizing certain types of arrests. So they're prioritizing three categories of immigrants: those who pose a threat to national security, those who have crossed the border since November 1st, and those who committed aggravated felonies. So basically, what everyone's or what's going to happen here is the government border enforcement is going to go after everyone attempting to cross the border without asking government permission first, because they are considered a threat to national security and a threat to border security. And if they are with their children, guess what's going to happen to them?
They're going to be separated.
They are going to be separated.
If you're arrested, you can't take your kids to jail.
And the only difference is, well, then they'll put the kids in a kid jail.
What else would they do?
Right. Until they can maybe foster them out or something like that, yeah, or ship them back. And
they won't be sexually molested there. Don't worry.
Oh, that never happens in the foster system.
No.
Especially not the federal foster system. I'm sure they only have
I don't think it's foster. I think mostly it's homes, juvenile detention centers,
they
basically.
They have those. Yep. Yeah. They're turning, I think they turned a Walmart into like an immigration detention center somewhere, at least one. So you want to join us here, you certainly can. The number is 603-283-6160.
And I'd like to, you know, take just a second to, while I, you know, take shots at America's immigration policy, which is easy to take shots at. It's a disaster. Everybody will tell you it's broken. Now, I have some solutions. My solutions would be, I want anybody to be able to come who wants to work for a living and build a better life for themselves.
Right. Not the welfare hounds.
Right. And so that would require, you know, stopping welfare, basically, because don't worry, they're going to, you know, if you let immigrants in, they're going to figure out how to be a citizen or recognized by the welfare system or whatever, and to get the benefits, because they see some people getting them. Why wouldn't they get them? So I say end welfare completely.
You mean across the board, including for Americans?
Yep, for Americans. I mean for, but at the very least,
I'm on board with that.
At the very least, you make a hefty fine that they sign, or a hefty prison sentence that they sign, that they would, you know, be subject to if they accept welfare, and if therefore if they're found with it, you know, getting it, then you know that's another way to solve that
now,
problem.
Obviously, they could
also
still...
they wouldn't be able to vote. Mm-hmm. Like they're never your whole life. Like you're coming across this border, but you're not ever going to be able to vote, because basically the big complaints are the Republicans are like, oh, the Democrats want everybody to come here so they'll vote Democrat. Well, fine, make it so they can't vote.
So,
because a lot of people just want to come here and live a better life.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I think the vast majority of people who are coming here are looking for a better life, and only the government stands in the way of them making that happen. And by the way, making our lives better. I'd like to add that. Because when people come here who are looking to make a better life for themselves, they have to get work. Either they get a job or they create, because a lot of immigrants are actually entrepreneurs.
Sure.
They never had the freedom to open up their own business wherever they're coming from, and here they have a better chance in a lot of places.
So when I was going through the southwest of America, I was seeing a lot of farms out in the desert that are being farmed by people who don't speak English. I mean, going into towns where you can't get served in English.
Wow. People, you know, making our lives better by working. And working hard in a lot of cases, that just brings the price of things down. It brings the price of services down, like, you know, whether it's lawn care or picking fruit or whatever it is that these folks are
and
doing.
And lots of Mexicans have moved well above these particular stations. In fact, those are mainly going to Central Americans at this point.
Yeah.
But somebody still has to pick the lettuce.
Absolutely. And we know that Americans aren't going to do it.
No, we've seen instances where they tried to take American prisoners and force them to do it.
Well, they gave them the opportunity.
Take me back to jail.
Yeah, that's literally what happened. And then the vegetables started rotting on the vines because they couldn't find Americans to do the job, and they scared away the immigrants with a
crackdown.
That
was in Georgia.
This was years ago in Georgia. This was during the Obama administration, I think.
Yeah.
So, and now, guess what? Joe Biden, he's just like Obama. In fact, no one should be surprised about this. And yet everybody thought that this guy was somehow going to be different. Look, this guy can barely put his pants on straight. I mean, he can't even finish a sentence without rambling. He is in bad shape. I mean, he's not the guy making decisions. I don't know
basically
who's making
everybody
the decisions.
Said from the very beginning, his handlers are going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, his handlers are going to. Well, why would the Democrats be any different than the Democrats have been up till now?
Mm-mm. Nope. So here's a little bit more from Cato Institute and Reason.com. The director of immigration studies at their Center for Global Liberty and Prosperity says it's difficult to ask for asylum at ports of entry. You basically have to try to sneak in illegally and then ask a Border Patrol agent. But by doing that, you commit a federal crime. Now, this approach, according to Reason.com, has come to define the U.S. immigration system in that a vast majority of legal avenues are inaccessible to the bulk of would-be immigrants, thus incentivizing illegal behavior.
So what was happening as far as asylum was that the Central American, asylum seekers would travel through Mexico to get to the United States to get asylum. And what many people were saying, and I don't think it's the worst argument in the world, it's just... anyway, I'll go on it. What many people were saying was, why not get asylum in Mexico? We'll give you money for asylum in Mexico so that, you know, you can keep them over there. And that's a relatively good argument. However, what I'd say is that, look, people want a better life for themselves and they want a better life for their kids and they're willing to work to get it. And those people we should want. Remember when nations wanted land and when nations wanted population? Well, now with the introduction of social welfare programs and, socialism worldwide, nobody wants more citizens because there's more people to take care of. Now they're protecting their citizenship. Mm. And America wasn't founded in that time frame. They weren't trying to keep people out. That's why the United States government has power over naturalization, but not immigration. Immigration isn't mentioned in the Constitution, which means that that power is a power of the state. The state meaning like Texas or Oklahoma or whatever. Now, obviously, things have changed over the course of 200 and something years since the 240 or something like that, since then. But that's what it says. And if we're going to act like the Constitution is a meaningful document, well, that's what it should be dealing with.
Now, even if, Mark, a bunch of people came over the border, let's say the borders just opened tomorrow. And there was no more restrictions. People could come in. And it wasn't even with your restriction of no more welfare. Like, welfare's still out there. Some portion of the immigrants would get it. Others just wouldn't bother because, you know, they're self-sufficient and they can take care of themselves and they don't do that.
And they don't want their name known on any federal list.
Yeah, and they're just not comfortable taking welfare. There's those people. But let's say a whole bunch of them did. Let's say a whole bunch of people came in, a whole bunch of people took welfare. You know what? Whatever amount of money that would be is going to pale in comparison to the amount of money that this government is going to print out and they're going to give to their buddies as they did last year with the big $1.9 trillion, $4 trillion,
The welfare that goes
trillion.
To banks dwarfs yeah. the welfare that goes to anybody.
They're cooking one up right now. I've seen $1.9 trillion is being batted around, and of course they're talking about, oh, you get a $1,400 check or whatever they're talking
about for Americans get ripped off again.
You know, so, I mean, again, even if you double the size of the welfare system here in this country, it's going to mean nothing compared to the hundreds of billions of dollars that are going to be shoveled over to companies like Delta Airlines and, you know, all these
the
other
thing,
connected
is that
people.
I don't think there should be entitlements, period.
I agree with you. You know, it's all like going banks, down, though. I'm just saying it won't make a hill of beans worth of difference in the end of the United States, okay? Maybe the end of the United States is on the horizon. How far away it is, I don't know. Maybe
it's certainly looking insolvent.
Yeah, maybe it'll come quicker than we think. I can hope. The number here is 603-283-6160. The experiment has failed, and people really need to start talking about secession now before it's too late. 603-283-6160. You can join us here. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, and it is the live Saturday edition. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Do you want to reach people with the ideas of liberty? You can do it from the back of your car with LibertyStickers.com. You can reach thousands of people with a bumper sticker. And you know that people love to read them, so check out the vast selection of witty, poignant, pithy, and downright bombastic liberty-oriented messages at libertystickers.com. And if you need custom stickers, like we got some, we got the Free Talk Live bumper stickers. If you want a free one, by the way, you can go to promote.freetalklive.com. There's a physical address. You send a self-addressed stamped envelope to that address, and we will send you back a bumper sticker, and they'll give you some idea of the quality of Liberty stickers. So you got a political campaign or a, you know, interest group or a business or something, you want to make your own bumper sticker, they can handle that too.
Rush sold them to you. We give them away.
Oh, I see what you're saying. LibertyStickers.com. We go to your calls and thoughts. We got, let's see, Rick is in Arizona. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Rick.
Hey, listening to your show, and My question is about, you know, the borders being open to where it's just a free flow of people coming in and going out. And my concern is overpopulation to the infrastructures of housing, medical, education, and so on, and groceries, food, you know. If we take in too many people too fast, we don't have enough for everybody to have enough.
Here's the cool thing about the marketplace
is that we will overpopulate.
Yeah, here's the cool thing about the marketplace is it responds when there's a demand put upon it. You know, if you open up the borders, you're not going to have everybody coming in on day one. It takes some time to, you know, to get your life together and move somewhere. But obviously people would come in. And if you didn't have insane government regulations on building houses, then houses would easily be able to scale up to demand. And not everybody lives in the unpopulated areas. In fact, most people live in urban centers in the United States. I think it's like 96% or something like that of the population. So there's a ton of room for people to be here.
When Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin overtook Russia and became the USSR, they really couldn't figure out pricing models, distribution. They had to come up with these five-year plans. At some point, they had to abandon the whole idea of being cashless. They were going to be without money. Everything was going to be a communist utopia. Mm. And what they found was is that planning a marketplace is very difficult. But, you know, John Smith there, he came up with the old it was Adam Smith, excuse me. Yeah. He came up with the invisible hand theory long, long before that. Somehow the market comes up with solutions. As far as housing goes, not everybody has to live in the nicest house. They certainly don't in Central and South American countries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some neighborhoods aren't going to let that kind of building go on. But
oh, we don't have enough houses for the people moving into Arizona from California as it is.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
sure.
So rents are high, right?
We have a housing shortage here.
So the price goes up, which
will Arizona in the Tucson area. I live 4 miles off the border by Naco, Mexico, And I live in a community of 5,000 people with one grocery store. And if we double our population immediately, you know, with people coming in and wanting to stay in this area, we don't have enough food then for everybody.
Well, here's
and
the
we
thing.
Don't have
if there's
any
not
housing,
enough food, people
you can't
won't
even
move
find
there.
A place to rent here.
Then people won't be able to move there if there's no available homes, and they'll find somewhere else to go. The prices of rent will go up if the demand is so high that
if they
the market
can pay
can't.
It. But likely, right. Some Guajito from Tijuana or wherever isn't going to be able to pay it.
Right. So maybe they'll put up a shantytown somewhere or whatever. Who knows what's going to result in that. But all I know
When you look at the people who are currently picking the vegetables down on the U.S.-Mexican border there on our side.
Yep.
And they're watering, the desert to grow lettuce. Those people are clearly not living in the greatest of housing.
Yeah, a lot of those people. And I've seen it. I saw
it. They might as well be back in Central America.
Yeah, well, I remember seeing...
But isn't that a form of slave labor, then, that imposing upon them?
Let me ask you this. If you could
Slavery's
work hard to make a better life for yourself, would you do it?
Well, I do every day.
There you go. But it's not slavery.
I'm retired on a very small amount of Social Security house-sitting to get by. Every day.
Yeah, slavery is not a choice.
A pension. What's that now?
Slavery does not involve choice. So the people that would come here and would work a job that maybe you or I wouldn't want to work, and we might consider very difficult conditions, for them, it is an option. It is one that they could choose. And if they choose to do that, then it is by definition not slavery.
Yeah, my concern is just overpopulation,
okay.
Not enough.
Don't be concerned. You can do some research about that on the internet. Thank you, Rick, and you can look and see how much of the United States is
America
populated.
Pales in comparison to other countries as far as population per square mile.
It's a tremendous amount of open
kilometer,
space.
Kilometer, hectare, you pick.
Two-thirds of the land west of the Mississippi is quote-unquote owned by the federal government?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, that's a ton of space.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Rick. Let's go to Ryan in Tennessee. The number here, by the way, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I just wanted to respond to two of your previous callers,
sure.
Jerome and Ed. And as far as Jerome goes, I believe he is 100% a fool and proves it every single time that he calls in.
How so?
To call in tonight and bash Rush Limbaugh, who I've listened to daily for the last 5 years, the ambassador of freedom, of liberty, of our Constitution, of our Bill of Rights.
He's not the ambassador.
And to bash him as a racist is the most foolish thing that Jerome has ever said on your show.
Well, it's ignorance.
And
I mean,
that's
it is
saying a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely ignorant what Jerome said. From what I can tell, Rush Limbaugh is not a racist.
However, but this is what the media is basically saying. I mean, if you go online, everybody who disagrees with me is a racist, is basically
okay,
the...
Well, that's ridiculous.
It is. Let's leave racism for racism.
Okay.
And let's be abundantly clear on that. Like, racists are people that judge people negatively based on their skin color.
Yeah. Joe Biden,
maybe Jerome is a racist. Maybe he just hates white people.
Well, he's never
said
that.
When you point your finger at somebody, you know, there's three of them pointing right back to you. And I believe Jerome is a racist.
Well,
because all he ever does is call on your show and attack people for being racist.
Yeah,
the only thing that Rush Limbaugh was ever accused of being racist about was supporting Donovan McNabb, the Eagles quarterback. And he said that the whole country was pulling for him because he's a black quarterback. Now, how is that? How can you take that as being racist?
Rush Limbaugh
was one of the biggest supporters of Motown.
Yeah, I mean, Rush Limbaugh, to call him a racist, I don't think there's really any evidence for it. I don't know if that means that Jerome himself is a racist, and obviously he's not here to respond to that. But Ryan, if you want to hang on, we can continue the discussion, because I don't agree with you that Rush Limbaugh is some sort of ambassador of freedom. That's just marketing, and it's a load. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Carl Wattner, longtime proponent of a voluntary society, died last December. You may have seen his articles published on his website, voluntarist.com, in his newsletter, The Voluntarist, the Mises Institute, or elsewhere over the last 40 years. His newest book, I Must Speak Out, Volume 2, The Best of the Voluntarist, is now available via Liberty Under Attack Publications. This 430-page second volume spans the years of 2000 through 2020 and includes articles by Carl Wattner, Hans Hermann Hoppe, Carl Hess, Benjamin Tucker, George H. Smith, Lysander Spooner, Pete Eyre, Joyce Brand, and many others. I Must Speak Out is for the newly initiated, the veteran voluntarist, or anywhere in between. Buy the book now at libertyunderattack.com/voluntarist. For more great content on building a voluntary society and for Carl's extensive archives, check out voluntarist.com.
It is Free Talk Live, the live Saturday show. In fact, we're live 7 nights per week. You can always download archives if you've missed a moment over at freetalklive.com, so feel free to do that. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
Something else you can do is join our new social media website. You've heard about all the big tech takedowns, various different... Every week, there's new news about somebody getting themselves taken down from Twitter or Facebook. They usually tend to be right-wingers, but sometimes they're libertarian, sometimes not. They're being targeted for their opinions in a lot of cases. And here's what you do. You do something different rather than complaining, rather than appealing, rather than begging.
Just going to another social media platform.
Another centralized.
And expecting it to somehow be different.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of that, people remember everybody was talking about Parler.
Yep.
Parler. Well, now Parler's founder has been taken off of its board of directors, has been fired as the CEO, and apparently this week was actually devoiced from his own platform.
Don't forget they also went after that that Milo guy.
Milo Yiannopoulos?
Yeah, they knocked him off their platform.
Parler?
Yeah, they have no interest in freedom of speech. They had interest in becoming competition to Facebook.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You've helped them out.
Yeah, you're like Facebook now. Now, apparently they did give him
There are other options.
Yeah.
If you want other options, listen to me. Here they are.
Yep. There's a lot of them. There's something called Mastodon, which we're now running a Mastodon instance. It's a decentralized, open source, self-hosted, polycentric system, federated, meaning that thousands of Mastodon instances out there are all connected together. And so if you don't want to join our Mastodon, that's fine. There's other Mastodons that you can join. You could even start your own. And if Donald Trump were smart, that's what he would have done. He would have launched social.trump.com or trumpsocial.com or something like that.
I keep hearing he's supposed to, but...
Well, too late.
Some social media platform should have come up to him immediately and said, hey, sponsor us, we'll make you our superstar.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been one way it could have happened, but if he really wanted to do it the right way, he should have started his own site. If he'd started his own site, installed Mastodon, and, you know, he's got the people that could do this, right? You tell the IT guy, tell him you want a new website up, and then he gets it done. And then all he would have had to done was post it on Twitter while he still had access, and then, boom, a whole wave of people would have moved over to his site. And then
all he'd have to do now is get one of his people to put out an article that says he's over wherever.
Yeah, he could, but it would have been a lot easier if he hadn't waited. And that's what we're encouraging you to not do is don't wait until you get taken down from these sites, because then it's a lot harder to reach your friends, right? Like if Facebook is the way you reach your friends and you just got taken off of Facebook, well, what are you going to do? So what you do is you make the move now to something else and let your friends know, hey, I'm over here now. If you need me, this is where I'll be.
I've done it a few times on Facebook and just told people I'm over at social.freetalklive.com.
Yeah, check it out.
You know.
Social.freetalklive.com.
I don't think we've reached the synergy we need to have, though. Most of the posts seem to come from, you know,
Yeah, there's only a couple hundred users, Mark. It's not a big site by any means. But the nice thing about Mastodon is you can still follow people on other Mastodon servers.
Yep,
so we don't
true.
Have to get all the people on Mastodon to come over because they're already there. You just have to know how to search and find them. Ryan is on the line in Tennessee. And you did hang on, Ryan. You'd called in. You were calling about Jerome, but you also brought up something. You claimed that Rush Limbaugh, who you were a big fan of, you said you've listened every day for the last, I think it was 5 years of your life to his show. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, dance on somebody's grave or anything like that. But you brought up this sort of marketing thing that he's this ambassador of freedom. And I'm sorry, but you're not an ambassador of freedom if you're advocating people being put into prison who've never harmed another human being. Would you agree with that?
Well, in the 5 years that I listened to him, I've never heard him make any kind of remarks like that. So if you can find that on tape.
I don't need to find the tape.
I'd love to hear it because I absolutely think that's bogus horse crap.
All right. Well, I'll give you a couple examples. This is from ontheissues.org. These are quotes ostensibly from Rush's show. Now, to be fair, there is a source here, so you can probably follow up on the source if you want. But Limbaugh condemned anyone who supported legalizing drugs. He said, quote, "I'm appalled at people who simply want to look at this abhorrent behavior and say, hey, you know, we can't control it anymore. People are going to do drugs anyway. Let's legalize it. It's a dumb idea," he said. "It's a rotten idea. And those who are for it are purely 100% selfish." Further, Limbaugh repeated his tough law enforcement view of the war on drugs in the 90s, 1995. He said, quote, "We have laws against selling drugs, pushing drugs, using drugs, importing drugs, and the laws are good because we know what happens to people in societies and neighborhoods which become consumed by them. And so if people are violating the law by doing drugs, they ought to be convicted and they ought to be sent up." And then what happened to Rush Limbaugh?
That's exactly what Rudy Giuliani did in New York City. He cleaned that town up, and it was full of murder, drug abuse, homelessness, and he cleaned that town up.
Well, murder's an actual crime.
Well, and then look where it is now with your buddy Cuomo, the biggest mass murderer in United States history.
That is not my buddy.
I'm not here to defend Cuomo, and we are not Democrats. But I will tell you this. Denver isn't some cesspool of crime because they've legalized marijuana. Alcohol is the most damaging drug. I mean, like, it's not even refutable. Heroin pales in comparison from the societal damage.
I agree with you. I'm a reforming alcoholic. I do not argue with you. But I do want to say something in response to Ed, who called in earlier.
Go ahead.
Praising AOC. AOC is on record making anti-Semitic remarks, and she's on record saying that she is a socialist. She is all for socialism. So for him to go on and praise her like she's some kind of gift to politics is absurd. And then to say that the voting machines were not rigged, they wouldn't even allow anybody to come in and inspect them. And everybody in the country saw that video in Atlanta where they forced everybody out at 10:17 along with six other states that shut down at the exact same time, and they brought those suitcases in full of ballots and was pushing them in four and five times. Everybody saw it. It was never investigated. Nothing was ever investigated because they were scared that riots would break out.
This is what I asked Democrats who say that there was no election tampering. I asked them, have Republicans over the course of the last 20 years systematically gotten themselves into positions of power so that they can gerrymander districts so that Republicans are disproportionately represented in both state and the federal House of Representatives? And they always say yes.
Sure.
And so I asked them. And you're telling me now that the Democratic Party is somehow a bunch of saints that will not use the apparatus of the state to gain power through nefarious means, but the Republicans are. And at that point, they don't know what to say.
Even Bernie Sanders said that the machines were rigged back in 2016. Sure. So did Elizabeth Warren, along with many other Democrats.
No doubt. Look, these people are criminals, the Republicans and the Democrats. They're going to steal everything they can. That's what they do. They threaten people's lives, and they steal from them, and they extort people, and they demand their payments, and they demand their obedience, and they're sick, and they're psychopaths, and they're sociopaths. So going back to Rush Limbaugh, which is what we were talking about a moment ago, did you ever hear that Rush Limbaugh was a drug addict?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? He actually took himself off the airwaves and admitted himself into a rehab treatment.
You know what?
Once he got caught.
He was addicted to OxyContin.
Yeah. Did he ever want himself to be thrown into prison over that?
He admitted himself into rehab.
No.
See, this is the problem is that everybody thinks that prison's the way to solve drugs until it's their problem.
Right.
And their family's problem.
During,
I remember Jeb Bush said when his daughter was caught with crack, this is a family issue, and we prefer the press not to press us on this.
Remember when she was caught with crack
at
the rehab?
What do you think they'd do if it was your family?
In 2003, in the middle of his addiction, he said on the air, "These tough sentencing laws were instituted for a reason. The American people, including liberals, demanded them. Don't you
remember? Governments grow, that's why."
603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live, joining you in the studio tonight for this live Saturday episode. It's Ian
and Mark.
And our number for you, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Want to say thanks to Robert Womack III. He is Robert Womack III is what it says here. Maybe he's not the third. But thank you, Robert, for being a supporter of the Free Talk Live AMP
program. You never know what on the internet whether somebody's just putting a number behind their name.
AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote, and that is a way to help us get more Free Talk Live on more radio stations, and we appreciate Robert helping us out with that. He's doing $5 a month to the AMP program. You get some cool perks, get some benefits, like access to the supporters chat room on our new Matrix chat server, which is a decentralized chat server we've been promoting for the last few months. You can go to several months now, I guess, chat.freetalklive.com to get the step-by-step instructions on how to join other people there. But thank you, Robert, for that. And if you want to join the AMP program, you can go to amp.freetalklive.com like Robert, and you can join for as little as $5 a month at ampamp.freetalklive.com. PayPal, we take that. Credit card, debit card, and even Bitcoin BTC. amp.freetalklive.com. Mark, you interrupted me when I was given the last quote there at the end of the last segment regarding Rush Limbaugh, who is a tough law enforcement, tough on crime viewpoint. Somebody brought him up earlier. Otherwise, we would have been talking about something else. But calling him the freedom defender or something like that.
Something like that.
No, he's not a freedom defender. He may be in favor of freedom on some issues, like most people.
I think that, Rush Limbaugh's bread and butter is fiscal conservatism, which is, libertarians can get on board with that. Most of the things he talks about are either A, party politics. Republicans are better than Democrats.
Yeah, but he's also a social conservative, because if he were a fiscal conservative, he would look at the tremendous waste of the war on drugs, and he would be upset by the fact that the federal government spent trillions of dollars, or however many billions or hundreds of billions or whatever it is, on the war, this insane war against our family members, and instead they could have actually been doing something productive. Well, of course, the government, so they never would, but they could have not taken that money in the first place, and then the average people could have done something productive with it who earned it. But instead... they put thousands upon millions of our friends and family members behind bars who've never actually harmed another human being, except for Rush Limbaugh, who he himself had a drug problem. And the quote I was trying to read here was apparently in 2003, in the middle of Limbaugh's deep addiction of, was it oxycodones, I believe?
Yeah.
Hydrocodone.
Bad stuff.
Opiates. Basically heroin. Rush Limbaugh, in the middle of being a drug addict, still said on the radio, quote, "These tough sentencing laws were instituted for a reason. The American people,
so we can put the riffraff in jail and keep people like me out.
Yeah. The American people, including liberals, demanded them. Don't you remember the crack cocaine epidemic was his quote.
Well, yeah, the crack cocaine epidemic, and again, I'm not a liberal, so blaming this on liberals doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm saying, and it doesn't, I don't care what the liberals say. The liberals are just a bunch of people who are absolutely fiscally illiterate. I don't care about them.
A lot of them are drug warriors, too, like Joe Biden.
So that's just ad hom attacks. I don't care about that stuff. That and if anybody wants to look at the drug war and look at it in a fair way, the best I can tell is that free people should be able to do with their bodies as they please.
Right.
So long as they don't harm anyone else.
That's defending freedom right there. That's the freedom statement.
Right.
And you would think Rush Limbaugh would have given it some thought when he himself was outed for being a drug addict. You'd think that if he had any intellectual honesty, he would have come to the microphone and apologized for what he'd said all those years about people who are drug addicts, because he himself was actually a drug addict. And then he should apologize for advocating that all those people get thrown into a prison cell when he himself would certainly not have wanted that outcome for himself. And so, sorry, don't buy the claim that he was some sort of principled advocate for freedom. That's just marketing. Just like the idea that he's, you know,
he was
better
an advocate
than God
for Republicans.
Or whatever. You know, with one hand tied behind his back, he's going to take on God, et cetera, whatever it was that he said.
No, that wasn't it.
Yeah, so let's go on here. We got Stephen on the line here in New Hampshire. Stephen, you're on Free Talk Live.
Boy, isn't it annoying to hear about these people who want to control your freedoms and restrict you?
Indeed.
Well, this year, as every year, but this year in particular, there's an amazing festival, June 28th through July 4th, where there will be lots of people like you who don't want to restrict freedoms and want to allow everyone to live the lives that they want without restriction. And that's forkfest.com.
Forkfest.party.
No, no, Mark, you haven't been listening. Forkfest.com is
really?
A new website.
Really?
Yeah, there's
Mark,
Forkfest.party.
It's nice to hear from you. You know, it's been a long time, Mark, and you're beautiful and wonderful.
Thank
and
you. I've been following
so,
your Insta,
so glad
Steven.
To have you back. Oh, I just blocked Instagram. You know, I got to focus on Forkfest.
Nice.
So
really?
Forkfest.com is the place to start winning the game of capitalism. It's the most fun festival, and lots of the listeners have already heard about Forkfest, which is the best, most decentralized, most freedom-oriented festival in America. Last year was incredible. I think we were the only festival that where people were getting together in 2020.
There was the Porcupine Freedom Festival that happened the week prior to Forkfest. But besides New Hampshire, there weren't very many festivals at all in the year 2020.
That's right. Well, this year we've gone even further. We have forkfest.com, where you can add your campsite, and start competing to win the most bitcoins from the other attendees. And you've heard about this many times, but
I want to hear it.
Okay, Mark. Well, you should go to forkfest.com.
All right, I'll do it right now. Forkfest.com.
I expect you'll be there, and you'll have a campsite, so you can add your business at your campsite, and then people can start. It's the easiest way to get paid and earn money, earn bitcoins, in fact.
I'm already excited. I'm looking right now at forkfest.com and the list of businesses that are already on this list. Pam's Cookie Cash. I don't know who she is, but I'm already interested in seeing what kind of delicious goodies might be available.
Pam's a cool lady. Yeah. You know, there's more businesses added to the map every day, but. Ian, I believe that you are at site 46 with
right,
Shire
yeah.
Goldback.
No, Free Talk Live is going to be at site 46.
Free Talk Live. Okay. Well, the new update today is if you tap on your campsite, it'll take you right to the payment screen where your customers can pay you for goods and services.
That's so cool.
What does Wicked Wonderland do?
Wicked Wonderland, they make food.
Ah.
Excellent.
They make savory dinners.
That's exciting, and that's a new name. I don't recall them being there last year, so it sounds like maybe they're new to the game.
You know, I'm very surprised this year. Like, to my dismay, all of the campsites I wanted to book up were already booked by people.
Yep. That's why we're at 46 instead of 45. We're not at the top of the hill next year. There seems to be a high demand. This year. There seems to be a high demand on these campsites already, and we're still, 4 months out?
Yeah, it's remarkable. Something has changed. I think people are very much craving to get together with other freedom-oriented libertarians.
They definitely are, Stephen. And we've seen people coming here, for instance, to visit New Hampshire more in the last 6 to 8 months than I've seen in the last 6 to 8 years. I mean, there's been a tremendous level of interest of people who are sick and tired of government goons telling them how to live, telling them what to wear, and telling them how far away to stand from their loved ones. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous what has been happening over the last year. And the people that actually care about freedom, I think a lot of them are finally realizing they better start to get serious about migrating to New Hampshire if they want to be around other people who actually care about freedom.
Well, how about going to Saipan where they can be free?
Well, that's a whole other story, Mark.
A whole other story. It's kind of exciting, Mark, the Saipan concept. But people who are here in North America, especially people on the East Coast, all like 50
million. If you're in the Northeast, especially if you're in the Northeast and you want to run for office as a liberty-minded candidate, there's no better choice than New Hampshire.
Well, it's not about just running for office. I mean, that's what some people do, but it's about the community of being together with like-minded individuals, and there is no larger community. I mean, Saipan is great, but they just got started a year and a half ago. So, I mean, they got a ways to go before they're going to catch up to the New Hampshire migration. Stephen, thanks for sharing an update there. It's very exciting what's coming together over at ForkFest.com. And, of course, I've actually linked to it over at ForkFest.party as well. So it's now up there at the top of the page. You can click on map and it'll take you right on over to ForkFest.com. We got a ForkFest forum. There's a ForkFest Telegram chat room. The event is June 28th through July 4th. It is a decentralized libertarian camping festival, and you can learn more at ForkFest.party and ForkFest.com. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate your call here tonight. We got hour number three on the way. Plenty of time for you if you want to join us. The phones are open, 603-283-6160, whether it's immigration or whatever's on your mind. We'll tell you about some crazy stuff from Canada coming up.
Look, I'm sorry, but you're in for a world of pain if you use Coinomi. The reason is their wallet doesn't support payments. The solution is simple. Let them hear your voice. Message Coinomi on Twitter, it takes 5 seconds, and tell them AnyPay sent you, because they're on the fence right now, and your voice will prove that people care about using Bitcoin for payments. Go tweet at Coinomi now. Or even better, leave a review in the App Store. They really pay attention there. Thanks.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. We're kicking off the third hour here of this live Saturday episode. The phones are open. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts. Then coming up, the latest insanity that has been generated by the madness surrounding coronavirus and all the insane restrictions. Now an 80-year-old has been kicked out of a hospital for holding her husband's hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll tell you about that. That's coming up.
A friend in my neighborhood, she never got to see her husband pass. And, the hospital just took him and goodbye.
That's it. 603-283-6160. Well, she could have gotten him infected and he would have died. Oh, wait. He died.
Right.
So we go to your calls.
It wasn't even COVID.
Yeah. We go to your calls and thoughts here. El Conejo is on the line in Arizona to start things out here. Go ahead.
Hi there. The reason I'm calling in tonight is because I just wanted to offer some constructive criticism for libertarians.
Okay.
I think we really pooped the bed with the natural disaster in Texas. I think
how's that?
If there's a natural disaster in this country, we've done great with the Cajun Navy, with Boog Boys guarding businesses during riots and looting. So I just wanted to point out that the cold snap looks like it's over right for now, but they still need water. And when people think of Boog Boys, they should automatically think disaster relief, whether that's government caused or just exacerbated by a government. and I wanted to give a shout out for a charitable organization that everyone should be aware of.
Okay, and what's that?
It's called Donor C, as in you charitable donation, like Donor C, S-E-E, as in you see what your money does.
Oh.
So you can be paired up. Sorry.
No, that sounds interesting. How does that work?
So I heard about them on the Tom Woods show, a survey, a young man who doesn't really make a whole lot of money. And it's a platform where you can look at people asking for money for making things better, like getting water pumped, getting water pump in Africa, or getting water to people during a hurricane or a big freeze. It's also an app. So they send you little letters and video updates. So it's extremely transparent, extremely low overhead. It's kind of sort of well known in the libertarian community, I think.
Huh. Okay. So is it an organization that does the charity themselves, or do they help people see what other charities are doing? I'm not real clear.
No, it's a platform that people who want charitable donations can join, and they do a little bit of vetting. Mm-hmm. But you get video updates of the progress. Everything's transparent as far as how much money is donated, where it's going.
Is this like a crowdfunding website? Is that what it's doing?
Yeah, it's a website and an app. Okay. It's a libertarian started it.
Now, when you say the libertarians have dropped the ball in Texas,
they certainly can't deliver power.
I don't live down in Texas, so
they can deliver water.
So I don't know what the stories are on the ground. Like I haven't heard anything. Like when Hurricane Katrina happened in 2005, we reported on that here, and there was all kinds of government disasters where they made matters worse by restricting individuals from coming in, like doctors who wanted to help out. They were told they couldn't help until they, you know, went to FEMA and jumped through all kinds of hoops, and they weren't allowed to just come and help. There was corporations like Walmart that tried to send trucks full of water and ice in. They were turned around by the federal government, refused to allow access. So, I mean, it would, you know, I don't know what happened in Texas. And if people are down there and they can weigh in on this, please do 603-283-6160. But it always seems like it's actually government that makes matters worse when it comes to these disasters.
Can I make one more suggestion?
I'm just saying, why should libertarians get the blame for what's going on in Texas for not doing a good enough job?
Well, we just weren't raising awareness of what was happening and how bad it really was, and we were kind of just sleepwalking through it almost. But
what if we keep doing
that,
and the people keep relying on the state to do whatever the state does? I mean, isn't the definition of insanity doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? Shouldn't the people in Texas actually have to deal with their own power crisis right now? I mean, that's the only way that I learned as a kid.
This is a 100-year storm.
Look, your grid needs to be prepared for the 100-year storm.
Mark, libertarians believe in charity and emergency response and disaster relief.
Indeed.
So if you live in Texas, hop on Donor C, put your story out there. I was looking earlier. I didn't see anyone in Texas I could help, and I was looking to. So if you're in Texas and need some sort of assistance, please post your story.
Well, they may not have internet access.
I would like to help you.
Because they may not have power. So, I mean, that might not be their first concern, right, is like posting somewhere on the internet. They might be just trying to find some water and get access. I don't know, El Canejo. I think it's too early to say, and thank you for the call tonight. And thanks for pointing the website out. It does sound interesting. But I think it's too early to say that, libertarians deserve some sort of blame for not responding as well as they could have. We don't know what kind of responses are going on. The thing with the thing with individual responses is they're not heralded. You know,
right. That's the thing is that over and over again, people, liberty-minded people, have responded, and for whatever reason, we get just sort of no credit for it. The government takes all the credit. For us, there'd be no civilization, the state says.
Thank you, El Canejo. I appreciate it. No, most people don't want the, you know, touting. They don't go to help somebody out so they can get pimped, you know, about, so-and-so helped us out. No, it's just you just go and help somebody because it's the right thing to do. If you threw on a ton of pallets of water onto a back of a truck and you decided to go to this place and, you know, even if you decided to sell them and people were thanking you personally, that's usually enough. You know, you don't have to get a news article written about your efforts in order for you to want to go and help somebody.
Yeah, the things that the government does when it helps are they're spending a dollar for every dime that private individuals are going out and spending. Private individuals are far more efficient, but somehow the state always gets the credit.
Let's continue. Yoda is calling from Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Yoda.
Yes, I just want to say that I agree with everything you said about Rush Limbaugh.
He's a hypocrite?
I used to listen to his show on a regular basis, and I must say that Rush Limbaugh, in my opinion, has American blood on his hands. Mm. I remember in the early 2000s, he used his platform to push for the war, the unnecessary war in Iraq, which killed thousands of American soldiers. Okay, and then he claimed that coronavirus was nothing more than a flu, killing more Americans because a lot of people listens to his show and takes his word seriously.
Well, I mean, the coronavirus isn't really a big deal. I mean, I'll give him that one. But you're absolutely right when it comes to Rush being a warmonger. I mean, I called him out for being a drug warrior, but he was also a war warrior as well. He absolutely supported the state invading various different countries and dropping bombs and murdering innocent people. And
he said the bureaucrats were inefficient and leeching off of people until those bureaucrats carry guns or hoses.
Right. Then he's a fan. Right. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
And as far as your comments on legalization of drugs, let me tell you a story. Mm-hmm. I was in Portugal, a country called Portugal in Europe, 2 years ago, and they have legalized all the drugs in that country, and consumption actually went down.
That's right.
Which surprised me. I mean, it was very surprising to me that consumption actually went down.
Not only that, but also addiction rates are down. Addicts are more likely to go and get help. Just to clarify, though, what you said, Yoda, I don't believe they've actually legalized drugs in Portugal. It's been a widespread decriminalization effort, and that has been now in place for approximately the last 20 years.
They are concentrating. They are concentrating on treatment. Treatment more than anything. They are taking their money and they've opened needle exchanges and drug treatment facilities. They're not locking people up like they are doing here.
Yeah, and it's been a tremendous success, and it's going to be really interesting here in the United States because in November of last year, the people of Oregon voted about 60% in favor of a very similar package, and thank you, Yoda, for the call tonight, as Portugal. So they actually have drug decriminalization. It just went into effect like 20 days ago.
Yeah, the drug war is really just a make-work program for prison guards. It's more Republican welfare.
603-283-6160. Well, don't forget, Mark, a lot of Democrats have been drug warriors over time. Joe Biden was one of the key drug warriors in the 1990s, and he hasn't stopped today. He's still a drug warrior. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. The number, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything that you want here. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
For a long time, libertarians have been wanting what they finally have in liberty.menu. It is a libertarian business directory, but also it's more than that. You can also list your event that you might be organizing or promoting. You can list any digital content that you're the creator of, and, of course, your businesses that you're involved in. If you want other freedom lovers to know and possibly be your customers, then you got to be listed on liberty.menu. You can put your voluntariest ideas into action. Now, it is exclusively for individuals who reject the initiation of force. So if you are a socialist or some sort of, ultra-right-wing conservative, you probably don't belong at liberty.menu. But if you're a liberty-minded person, then check it out, liberty.menu. We think you're going to like it. You can use code FTL, like Free Talk Live, to get a special Free Talk Live listener badge on your profile. We can't give you a discount because the site's free. It's liberty.menu. We go to your calls and thoughts with Dana on the line in Michigan. Dana, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys.
Hey there.
I just wanted to say welcome back. I'm so glad you're back. I also wanted to say that you may not realize it, but you are the Rush Limbaugh of libertarian radio.
Are you talking about Mark Edge? Are you saying, Mark, welcome back. Mark, you're Rush Limbaugh. Is that what you meant to say?
Why? Because I disagree with you most of the time.
I just
wanted
to be clear.
Why you said that?
you said welcome
back. You disagree with him. Andy's a jerk.
No.
I haven't gone anywhere.
No.
So it couldn't have been me that you were talking to.
No, but you haven't been on Saturday and Sunday nights.
I have.
Ian?
I have. Not Sundays.
I haven't heard you in weeks. In fact, I got to be honest. I check in every Saturday and Sunday. No disrespect to any other unnamed people, but I go to something else because not even you're on, Ian. I haven't heard you in a long time.
You just haven't
been
listening.
But I don't mind you, Ian, in the fact that, we can disagree, and I don't have a problem with that, but mm-hmm. I want you guys to realize something. That just like Rush, well, none of you would be there. There were only 200 radio stations when he first started 30 years ago, and now there are thousands.
Not true. There stations. Were way more than 200 radio stations.
No. That did talk radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's about 1,000.
And he is, he's being credited for a podcast that they wouldn't exist. He was one of the early ones on
no.
that. I want you to know that you have.
I mean, look, hold on, Dana. Hold on. Before you go on, I appreciate the kind words, but let's clarify something.
And I think one thing that Dana's getting to that is absolutely true. We benefit from the world Rush Limbaugh helped create.
Yeah, that's fine. And I gave him credit for that earlier on in the show tonight. But to give Rush Limbaugh credit for podcasting is inaccurate. Rush Limbaugh was not there at the beginning of podcasting.
He was a paid podcast when we were free in the very early days. He came out with a very early podcast, yes.
I don't think so.
Yes, he did.
Thank you. Because that, I know, is also a fact. And maybe he was paid, but nonetheless, he was one of the front runners.
Paid
but
archives are not the same thing as a podcast. A podcast is an RSS feed that gives automatic delivery to subscribers. So, just because the dude had archives on his website doesn't mean he was a podcaster. I'm sorry. That's not the same thing.
So, tonight
how thin
I'm not
you want to slice that cheese?
Just the definition,
no,
man.
No, but tonight, Ian, I'm not going to get into semantics with you. I just want you to know. Both
you win!
Of you. And I don't mean just Mark. You too, Ian. I told you guys this before. You're the yin and yang. With you doing, any of the others that fill in for the show or not fill in, whatever you call them, Ian, it's not the same as with you and Mark. Whatever that it thing is that Rush has, you guys have it. And people think radio is a piece of cake to do something for an hour, 2 hours, much less 3 hours like you guys or like Rush. It is not. It's very difficult.
Well, it would be less interesting without our wonderful callers. And thank you, Dana, for the call tonight.
I know what the it
is. Words. The what?
I know what the it that she's referring to. Because this is what the consultants say, too, is that there's some magic that goes on between us. It's the seething, simmering hate that I hold for you. The disdain for your crappy opinion.
Padraig is on the line listening in New Mexico. Padraig, you're on Free Talk Live.
Well, I wouldn't be listening to you guys if it wasn't for Paul Harvey.
Good day, really?
Then I'd be giving away my age.
Wow.
I just want to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah.
I want to know what AOC's net worth was before she became a congresswoman and what
poor.
It is now. What Nancy Pelosi's net worth was before she became a senator and what it is now. What Joe Biden's net worth was before he became a senator and what it is now.
Oh yeah,
and where do they get their money?
Special
insider deals, basically.
Yeah, with their cronies.
Okay, and they get the votes by doing what?
And by the way,
passing
you mentioned our tax
all Democrats around,
Padraig. But you mentioned all Democrats, but the Republicans do the same thing. So let's just be clear.
Okay, yeah, okay. Ted Cruz, you can go. They're all the same.
Yeah.
It's you want your left hand cut off or your right hand cut
right.
off.
They'll cut them both.
I mean, that you have your choice.
Yeah.
But I just want to know where to get their money from.
Oh, well, it's the old story. I mean,
they get it from people who, are gullible enough to believe that governments, that as it functions today is a good idea. We can't live without this.
They get a fraction of their money from the people that are gullible. The people they really get money from are the corporations who know exactly what they're doing.
Who want to bilk the gullible people.
Okay, but they're getting money from he was talking about how do the politicians get money.
Yep.
They get donations and they get straight up handouts from corporations who want to use them to pass whatever laws are going to benefit those corporations. And it's the same old stories it's been from time immemorial. So, I mean, even before there were corporations, there are still special interests.
So it's government of the lobbyists by the corporations for the politicians.
Right, and it's never going to change until Washington, D.C. is done away with. And then the same crap's going to happen at your state government, and still does. It does happen at your state government. It's just at least then you know where those guys live.
I just want to know how to stop it. How do we stop that flow of money to them? Because that's what they were. That's what it's all about.
I got some suggestions.
Money and power.
Okay, so if you want to stop the flow of money to the politicians, one thing you can't do is you can't stop them from printing money out. And they're going to keep that printing press rolling as hard and as fast as they can. The money printer is going to go brrrr constantly here in 2021 and beyond. And that's their plan. So here's what you do to stop that. You can only stop it yourself. You can't stop these people from making their deals and scratching their backs and rolling their logs or whatever it is they're doing in D.C. or your state capital. You can't stop that.
Forking out the pork.
That'll never stop. It doesn't matter who you vote for. Okay. But what you can do is you can vote with your money by purchasing things that are not dollars with your dollars that could hold their value, like precious metals or cryptocurrency. And these are things, precious metals, of course, have thousands of years of being, you know, used as money and valuable. And they've done a really good job over time at sort of holding up against inflation, keeping you up against the government's inflation. So that's an old solution. Of course, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin are a newer technology. Some people are a little concerned with them. But over time, they've been doing very well over the last decade. So you take your money that you've earned and put it into things that the government can't take from you.
They took gold.
Well, that's true. You can always bury the gold if you wanted to, but
I think our kids are going to be leaving this country for better places to go.
Well, that's the other thing, is voting with your feet, and we can talk about that coming up here. Padraig, thanks for the call. There's more coming up. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you can take control of the airwaves here. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Mark.
We're going to continue taking your calls and your thoughts. Also, want to invite you over to the Free Talk Live chat server. We've got a Matrix chat server set up, and that means that it is a decentralized, open source, self-hosted, polycentric, federated. It's a lot of adjectives.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on that.
But it means that it's not something that the big tech companies can do anything about. They can't stop it, and that really bothers people who are control freaks. But if you like the idea of being able to communicate without somebody else telling you what you can and can't say, then check out our chat room. It's over at, well, there's rooms, multiple rooms. In fact, you can create your own room and administer it, hire, you know, bring your own moderators in if you want to, whatever, on our server. Go to chat.freetalklive.com. You will find people in there pretty much around the clock. So wherever you happen to be in the world, that's chat.freetalklive.com. Get the step-by-step instructions on how to join. We're going to continue with your calls and thoughts. Steve is in Connecticut. You're on Free Talk Live. In fact, Steve, we were just talking about ways you can defund the government and take more control over your life. You're doing that right now. I mentioned voting with your feet. You are migrating up to New Hampshire. You've already bought some property up here. So you're taking action, not just complaining.
I am looking forward to being in the Shire tomorrow afternoon for the crypto meetup.
Nice. I'll be there.
A great show tonight, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, moving with your, you know, voting with your feet, you know, the tyranny in Connecticut, it just gets more and more painful every day. And I can see that freedom. I can feel that freedom in the Shire. And, you know, and people are moving to Florida. They see the freedom that, you know, is available there. And
well, headline, Fox13News.com Tampa bars penalized for violating COVID-19 safety measures. So they are, cracking down, at least in what looks like Ybor City, perhaps, and Tampa, Florida, demanding that businesses follow whatever stupid rules the government is shoving down their throats. So, I mean, Florida is definitely ranked as one of the more free places. There's no doubt New Hampshire and Florida are kind of in a one and two spot, depending on
New Hampshire
on which.
Is pales in comparison to Florida's freedom on the COVID freedom charts, though. New Hampshire's middle of the pack, like number 23.
Sure, but on the overall freedom charts, New Hampshire and Florida.
What difference does it make if you can't open up your business right now?
You can open up your business in New Hampshire.
Yeah, well.
In fact, we've got a great business here in New Hampshire, here in Keene, called Pho Keene Great. It's a local pho noodle restaurant, and they are open, and there's no signs on the door, and you don't have to wear a mask, and the owner refuses to wear a mask, and she's a hero. So
yeah, that's fine, but up here in New England, what we have are New Englanders, and New Englanders are scared to death of this COVID thing. They think they're gonna die. Mm-hmm. Down in Florida, people, the same sort of people, same ages, same demographics, are running around, going to grocery stores, going to bars, going to restaurants, and somehow in New England, well, I guess it's because they vote Democrat.
I thought you said there was a tremendous level of compliance down there, given that there's not even a mandate. You said there were at least half the people wearing masks down
there. At least half the people wear masks in grocery stores. Yep. Yeah. But, I mean, you don't have to.
Well, one of our mutual friends, Steve, who comes to Pho Keene, he's down in Florida for 3 months. He goes, I'm just going down there for the winter because it's open.
Right. People want freedom, and Florida is free right now. New Hampshire pales in comparison to that. And I don't, and I'm not going to
get caught with ounce of pot.
Look, I got it.
Quarter of pot.
New Hampshire is the only New England state that hasn't legalized marijuana,
right?
Can
you open carry in Florida?
Who wants to open carry so you can be the first target of somebody who starts shooting people?
Plenty of people open carry up here.
Yeah. You can conceal.
All the shootings?
You can get a concealed carry permit in Florida.
Okay. I know what the process is like.
See, this is the thing, is I don't care about these abstract forms of freedom.
Have you ever gotten a concealed carry permit in Florida?
I'm a convicted
felon. Yeah, so you don't know anything about it.
I can own a black powder pistol in Florida, and I can't in New Hampshire because New Hampshire law says that it's not true. So go to hell, New Hampshire. You're not free.
Yeah, but
now you got a lot of libertarians here who are complaining about freedom.
No, they're not complaining.
Yes, they are.
Action.
Oh, they're begging politicians?
No, you don't know anything about it, Mark, because you don't spend any time actually paying attention to what goes on here, because you've got it in your head to go over on some island somewhere and you're going to be free.
I know
there.
What a bad plan
and
is.
And I hope that it works for you. I really do. And I want to hear if it's a success. But in the meantime, the New Hampshire Liberty activists, which are growing in number, more people are migrating here constantly. We've had more visitors coming up here, not just Steve in Connecticut. He's a regular, but
it's a good thing because lots of them are leaving too.
No, not really. I mean, there's hardly anybody leaving these days. There's
I'd say 80% of them that have come to Keene have left.
Nah, there have been people who've left over the years, but in recent years, we're retaining a lot of people. In fact, more people are coming here than ever before to take a look at New Hampshire.
You can be free if you go to Saipan. Go to the U.S. Marianas, and it is a freer place.
As soon as you go there, they're going to lock you up for 2 weeks.
I don't know what they're doing.
Saying that earlier tonight.
I don't know if they're still doing that program or not, but if
they
are,
they locked up Vin Armani.
Somebody has to sue them. Yeah. And what did New Hampshire do to you in that same period of time? They gave house arrest to the entire state.
No, we were out partying in Central Square. They didn't do anything to us.
That's because you're not worth bothering. But they did tell everybody they had to shelter in place. Did they not?
They made guidance recommendations to people, and people who love freedom did not.
They shut down people's businesses.
They did, and that's sad. There's no doubt about it, Mark. New Hampshire isn't a free place. The whole point of this is to have a project of people who come here to try to make things more free.
Yeah,
and that's
what you're not going to take 1,000, 5,000, or 20,000 people and drop them into a place with 1.4 million people and have any long-term effect.
Well, that's where you're wrong. I mean, there have actually been dozens of people who've been elected here in New Hampshire.
Getting somebody elected doesn't give me freedom. The Libertarian Party, I know it does. They said liberty in my lifetime, and Lloyd Danforth died a decade ago, okay?
Yeah. Look, it's just a marketing
phrase. I'm not here to give
just like live
the politicians,
die.
Begging the politicians for the rest of my life for, can we have just a little more freedom? No, I'm not. I'm going someplace where there actually is freedom, and
I'm glad
you always poo-poo it.
No, I'm not. I said I hope it's successful. I'm not poo-pooing it. I say best of luck to you.
If you want to hang out with libertarians, go to New Hampshire. If you want to be free, go to the U.S. Marianas. It's the freest place in the United States.
It's more than just hanging out. Okay, people are doing activism here. There are people like the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance.
You've done activism for 20 years here, and it hasn't done anything yet.
Okay, you have to understand.
You're not free. Mark. You got passed up by Florida last year.
Okay. You got to understand, Mark, these things take time. You're not going to change the system.
You got a lot of excuses overnight for a lot of people that will lock a lot of people up over victimless crimes.
What are you talking about?
You're just making excuses for the state.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. It takes time.
Yeah, it does. It's not easy to change things. You have to understand
that. You're never going to get it.
If you ever bothered to do any activism, you would know that.
Never
going to
get it. Never going to get it. I was elected 3 times a delegate to the state convention. I put my time in. I know what it's like. It is a waste of time. It is a treadmill upon which they put libertarians so that they waste their lives, and you are complicit in it.
Okay. Well, you think you're going to go to some island somewhere.
Hey, guys, Steve. I'm still on the phone. This is great. Keep going.
Well, he will keep going because he doesn't care what's happening in New Hampshire.
I do care.
He doesn't pay any attention whatsoever.
Look, man, I told you on the show, if you live in the Northeast and you want to run as a politician and get elected, this is the place for you.
Okay. But you're also poo-pooing all that, and you're saying it's a waste of time, and you're telling all these people that are moving here
that they're
wasting
their time. If you want freedom, it
is a waste
of time. Why not go someplace where you can be free? In Saipan, they've got the crown jewels of libertarianism already. Your taxes are cut in half immediately. Just like that.
Go ahead, Steve. Can I drive there from Connecticut?
No.
Well, you can't drive, no.
No.
But the good news is, neither can the statists from Connecticut, because New Hampshire has a real demographics problem, and we call them massholes, Vermonsters, and maniacs. And they're all going to find out that libertarianism brings prosperity, it brings happiness, it brings longevity, and they all want those things. And then they're going to vote just like they vote before. They're going to come across the border.
Well, I'm so glad Debbie Downer's back on the air here. Negative Nancy. Thank you, Steve, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. The toll-free number, or not toll-free number, 603-283-6160. You have to pay a toll. 603-283-6160, or not. You can join us here and talk to Mark. He knows everything.
I'm going to Roatan to check out a new freedom project next month.
This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. If you want to join us here, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. Although, if you're calling in this late in the game, it's going to be pretty hard to get you on because we already have full phones. People that want to talk about a variety of different things. It's Ian and Mark in the studio tonight, and you can join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. We're going to continue with your calls and thoughts, and Mark has once again returned to his topic, his favorite topic whenever he comes back from being gone for some number of weeks from New Hampshire, is to attack New Hampshire and attack the liberty activists that move here.
I'm not attacking liberty activists. When did I say the liberty activists who moved to New Hampshire are stupid?
No,
I haven't said that.
You didn't say they were stupid.
No, I think that
in
many cases,
that they weren't having any effect.
Hold on. They have had effect. The statement I have made is that they will not have a long-term effect, that anything that you achieve will be lost in 30 years.
Okay.
That massholes, maniacs, and Vermonsters will move in, and unless you have a plan. There is no plan for the Free State Project.
The plan is, it's not just the Free State Project. That's just one thing that's happening here.
But there's still
no
plan.
The New Hampshire Freedom Migration.
There's like 4 organizations with no damn plan.
There are thousands of people who are migrating here. And thousands have already migrated, and thousands more are planning to migrate.
That's not a solution. That's just pointing something out.
That's what needs to happen for change to occur. You have to concentrate people in one place in order for people to have more
freedom.
Why
not a place that's free to start with?
New Hampshire is one of the freest places on the planet.
You have a huge population problem. There's 1.4 million people here in Saipan, the U.S. Marianas. There are 50,000.
No doubt, Mark.
And only about 19,000 can vote.
So far, Mark, no one has created a Saipan libertarian migration project.
Yeah, they pretty much have.
No, Crypto Frontier is not explicitly libertarian. In fact,
it's just that everybody who's there is.
That's true. But the founder of that migration is specifically looking for crypto people. Now, they do tend to be libertarian, but it's not a libertarian migration in the same way that New Hampshire is. Now, maybe there should be a project like that started,
they probably
and maybe that's something that you want to do.
From the great New Hampshire migration, they probably learned from it that perhaps there's some things we don't want to do when we first arrive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we want to learn from this,
mm-hmm.
and that we don't want to necessarily make everybody hate us from the get-go.
Yeah, no doubt. That's probably a good plan. But unfortunately, if you're going into a place with the intention of changing things,
you don't have
to be more free. If you're intending for people to be more free in a place, then you're going to piss some people off.
All you need to do is put a few lawsuits in place, and almost all their problems are solved. I mean, really.
How are lawsuits solving people's problems?
Well, for one, if they're interning people who are going into the U.S. Marianas in hotels for 2 weeks while they, check them out or whatever, then that all you have to do is put a habeas corpus writ
in. You think so? You think it's that easy, huh?
I do.
Okay, well, you're going to test it out, right, coming up
in May? I am going there probably in May.
Okay. Well, let us know how that goes.
If they're still doing such a thing,
I will. If you think the courts are going to give you freedom, you haven't been paying attention. I wish you the best. Hey, I'm in a feudal lawsuit as well, okay? So, I understand that. I'm involved in suing the governor here in New Hampshire and the city of Keene over their mask mandates, and so far it's been 4 or 5 months with absolutely nothing happening in the federal courts.
Yeah,
so,
the mask mandate is entirely different than
I'm just telling you, don't expect the courts to actually give you any semblance of freedom. You can't even get inside
of them. I'm very curious.
In most circumstances. So we're going back to your calls and thoughts here. We've got Sean, or actually he calls himself Sir Kenosha Kyle, His Eminence. He is on our Jitsi chat, which is through our Matrix server. Go ahead.
How dare you guys badmouth Biden, who's bringing us unity. And, he's bringing us, better tech transparency. And by that, I want to talk about the company Phoenix Ammunition, who you guys spoke about in a past episode. They're a ammunition supplier.
What do they do? What's noteworthy about
spoke them? About Phoenix Ammunition. They're a ammunition supplier who they're a really small company in Michigan, and they recently added a thing to their website because they only sell online that says you have to check a box, either yes or no, whether you voted for Biden or not. They don't want Biden money. The owner actually talked about on a recent podcast with Tim Pool about how he had a 45-minute conversation with someone who called in and said, I don't understand. And he had explained to her, well, Biden wants to ruin my company, and I don't want your money because of that. But that YouTube video with that interview of the owner was pulled down since last night when it was up. Good old YouTube. They don't like people doing the same thing that they've been doing, which is choosing who you want to do business with and who you don't, which is basically what big tech censorship is. It's saying, well, I don't like your ideas, so bye. I don't want it.
Is Tim Pool on the library platform yet?
I don't know. I haven't checked, and I don't think so. It seems
LBRY.com. It is a blockchain-based, decentralized video hosting site, and it's doing fantastic. They've had a tremendous increase in usage during this whole big tech situation. Sorry to hear that about him, but sounds like a creative approach. Anything else you want to share?
That's it. Buy your ammo and Hope Biden brings us that unity you promised.
Thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate it. Let's go to Robert in Vermont. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Robert.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's on your mind?
Hey, so I think you guys are kind of both right about this movement here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's not like what you think it is. And I have a couple of theories why that is.
All right.
Okay. My first theory is that for a long, long time, 20, 30, 40 years, however long it may have been, the United States in the western side, all the way over to where Florida is, we've had hurricanes, floods, fires. I mean, people have died from all of this, weather disasters. People are tired of it. And I believe that a lot of those people are coming this way, okay, because they want to come to where it's a lot more safer. I mean, in Vermont, there's, what, 600,000 people here? There's a lot of land here. Maine has got a lot of land, and so does in Vermont. New Hampshire.
Yeah, so those three states are some of the freest, the safest states in the union. There's the least amount of crime, least amount of violent crime, these sorts of things.
Right.
And interestingly, gun ownership is high.
My other theory is that, and I don't know for sure, but if you look at the United States Navy topographical map of 2050, it'll show you what the United States is going to look like. And I kind of believe that.
A prediction? Well, what's it going to be?
Well, I mean, I think we're going to lose one half of the United States. It's going to be gone.
Gone in what way?
Well, I mean, flooded.
Flooded?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. So
take a look at the United States Navy topographical map, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's a canal.
Then I have a question regarding that. Why did Barack Obama buy a house in Martha's Vineyard? Why would he do that? If he believed, I mean, you know, here's a guy who had access to all of the world's intelligence on every issue for 8 years. And I'm not saying that global warming doesn't exist. I just have a question. Why would that same person say, I'm going to buy a piece of property that will necessarily depreciate rapidly when the polar ice caps melt or whatever? So, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I'm very, very, very curious.
Thanks for the call tonight, Robert. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. Singularity points out here, Mark, if you started a personality cult, you could have that island filled in 5 years. So, you know, maybe that's what you ought to do. You ought to, start your own cult, and then people can move to Saipan, and you'll have more freedom there. But you're saying they don't even have to do anything. They don't even have to change anything in Saipan. They should just come there, and everything's going to be groovy, right?
It was already pretty darn free.
Now, what if you're somebody who can't work remotely?
That's rough. The pay is low.
What's it cost to move to Saipan?
Well, you got to get plane tickets. Yeah. The cheapest I think you could possibly have gotten there pre-COVID was like $500. Mm-hmm. And now it's basically $1,000.
Okay. All right. I mean, would you say that moving to Saipan is something that might be out of the range of a lot of people?
It depends on how badly they want to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen a lot of people try to get to New Hampshire, and most of the ones that didn't prepare financially well enough were a real problem generally. Mm-hmm. I mean, there weren't very many people that... There haven't been many who came on a shoestring here in New Hampshire who have been a market asset.
So you're saying people should move to Saipan and just basically do nothing?
No, they should work online.
But like not try to change things because everything's just fine there?
I think that you're going to... The political system is a big treadmill.
Yeah.
It's not
out of time for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow online. In the meantime, over at freetalklive.com.
Welcome to another exciting adventure of Jonathan Gullible.
As you may recall, we last left Jonathan Gullible on a remote Pacific island after his boat was blown far off course by a terrific storm.
Eager to learn about the inhabitants of this island, Jonathan wandered through the town until he came to a man and a boy sitting at a park bench reading a story together.
Jonathan sat down on the bench as the man prepared to read.
Do you mind if I listen too?
Oh, not at all.
Well... Long, long ago, there was a tortoise and a hare. Both of the animals worked at delivering letters to all who lived in their small village. One day, the tortoise overheard the other animals praising the hare for being so quick at his deliveries. The fleet-footed hare could deliver in a few hours what others required days to do. Incensed, the tortoise crawled over and butted into the conversation, challenging the hare to a contest. The tortoise bet that in 1 week... he could get more customers than the hare.
Seems like a laughable bet.
Yes, sure was, because the tortoise was so slow at everything. Well, but the animals cheered and the contest was on. The hare immediately posted notices all over the countryside that he was cutting mail prices in half. Then the hare dashed through every neighborhood, ringing a bell, handing out letters, selling stamps and supplies, and even weighing and wrapping parcels on the spot. For a small extra fee, he would deliver any time, day or night, and he always gave a sincere and friendly greeting at no extra charge. Being efficient, creative, and pleasant, the hare saw his customer list grow rapidly.
So what was the tortoise up to?
No one had seen any sign of the tortoise all week. On the last day of the contest, certain of victory, the hare scurried up to meet the judges. But to his surprise, he found the tortoise already there waiting for him. While the hare had been racing from house to house delivering letters, the tortoise had only one letter to deliver. This one letter won the contest for the tortoise. All the animals laughed, except for the hare, who walked away in disgust.
But how could the tortoise win by delivering only one letter? I thought that the winner of the contest would be the one with the most customers.
Oh, yes. Well, everyone knows that the letter was from the Council of Lords, granting the tortoise a legal monopoly over the delivery of all letters. So you see, the tortoise won all the customers by official decree.
Stay tuned for another exciting episode in the adventures of Jonathan Gullible.
Build freedom with laughter. Join the community. Access free media clips and more. Or get your free PDF copy of the book. Go to jonathangullible.com now. jonathangullible.com.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
Your amp will directly change more lives by getting Free Talk Live in front of people looking for talk radio online and on the air. You can help by joining the AMP program for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com and getting perks. That's amp.freetalklive.com.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.